to GalacticConnection.com, one of the most popular blogs on the World Wide Web today for alternative news. Stay tuned for the latest information on our world shift from enslavement to galactic involvement, as well as current intel on any blockages impeding us from our sovereign birthright. Knowledge and self-mastery are key at this time. Our commitment is to present you with the latest breaking conspiratorial articles, off-world messages, exopolitics, cutting-edge technologies and sciences, and also an ever-significant intertwining of spiritual support and metaphysical scope that one needs to dive down the rabbit hole and search for truth with balance. We are truly on the horizon of a new golden age filled with the promise for more love, worldwide peace, and accelerated intuitive skills, where every living being can exist in cohesion and abundance. It is whatever we envision and dream this new world to be. I say to you now, let's redefine the new world to the beginnings of our own precious heaven on Earth. Galactic Connection is here to provide the pulse of Mother Earth through an eclectic range of interviews each Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4:55 p.m., Pacific Standard Time, Station 2 on BBS Radio, expanding your perspectives on how we can once and for all take back our freedoms, our joy, and our connection with our mighty I Am presence. Our intention remains true to connect hearts and minds everywhere in order to obtain global unity and galactic and universal acceptance. Our discussions will continue to cover anything to do with galactic society and our involvement with our galactic brothers and sisters. Our guests are experts in their fields, and our radio shows have been coined as some of the most thought-provoking out there. In addition to our daily blog, which runs 365 days a year, we also offer a realm of healing services such as our world-renowned implant removal processes, our spiritual past life clearings, our galactic violet ray alchemy from Alexandra, who shares in the lineage of Merlin, and other cutting-edge healing technologies. Check our site out at galacticconnection.com now. Sending you a wave of light, love, and inspiration, and a personal hug and thank you for listening to our Galactic Connection radio show and visiting our blog today.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us this edition of Leak Project. I am your host, Rex Bear, and tonight's guest is Alexandra Metters from GalacticConnection.com. Now, Alexandra has been researching alternative fields of health and forms to get people well for years. She's even gone through her own experience where she was bedridden for 3 years and is now doing absolutely incredible. If you go to galacticconnection.com, you can listen to many interviews that Alexandra has had with people around the world on a wide variety of topics. She has a daily blog with incredible information. And if you subscribe to their newsletter, you'll have daily updates and access to the archives that Alexandra has written, as well as other information. Now, check out galacticconnection.com. Alexandra, it's great to have you on the show here with us at the Leak Project. How the heck are you?
Good. Apparently, I'm a lot better off than you today, huh, Rex?
Well, I mean, if you like walking around and no air conditioning and, you know, being this humid San Antonio, Texas weather, our AC went out about 3 days ago.
Three days.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm okay with it. I can handle it. Last time we had you on the show, it was just great information, amazing energy. And I mean, I can feel the energy through the computer here that you're just emitting, and it's awesome. So let's talk about what's going on right now, and then we'll get into the Guardians here in just a minute.
Man, there is so much going on that even I have to like slow down and just breathe. The energies, on the one hand, they're ramping us up. They're motivating us. They're activating us. They're giving us kind of a fix of excitement that we feel, and we have a knowingness that we're breaking free. And yet on the other side, we still have all this stuff, you know, that we're still carrying around in our backpacks and stuff that we're contending with, because we're bridging. We're still bridging. As many people tend to forget, a lot of times they think that this leap into this new earth is one where you just say bye-bye to the 3D world, and that couldn't be further from the truth.
I mean, do you think we're going into something like a 4D? Is that...
Well, I already believe we're there. I mean, if you just look at everything frequentially, we're there. We're already having people, including myself and you. I mean, just you saying, wow, I can feel the love that you're emitting. Okay, that right there is a frequential read by you that perhaps you weren't able to do a couple of years ago.
Huh. Okay.
Okay? So this is really, we're becoming much more clairsentient. You know, we're becoming more frequentially aware of our surrounding. We're becoming less rigidly stuck in belief system paradigms. And this is all because the frequencies that are kind of pushing us and kind of molding us right now, they're just, you know, it's almost like molding a cookie, you know, or a vase. We're being molded by this love, and whatever our walk has been in the past is influencing how we respond to that.
Right.
It's an incredibly amazing, it's such an honor to be alive right now. I want to remind people of that. You know, this is, as much as there's a lot of garbage coming to the top, this is what we've been waiting for, is all of this exposure to come out and seeing the way in which the masses react to something that's staring literally them right in the face.
I mean, do you think that this year could be disclosure somewhat then, or maybe our minds, because so many people can see things that they haven't been able to before, just because the light spectrum, the way that it emits those light particles or frequencies, you get 100 people to see one thing, then 101, 102, etc. Just it continues to expand. Do you think that this could be the year we'll have more abilities of our DNA then, essentially, is kind of what you're getting at?
Oh, there's no question. No question at all. Because as we raise our frequency, as we raise our consciousness in whatever way that means to us, if we're making better choices with our bodies, if we're choosing to spend more time in harmony, if we're dropping friends that are not supporting a foundational belief that we deserve the best, if we're walking away literally from family members, you know, because you have such a strict, rigid family belief system that, you know, your family will live and die for you kind of thing. Okay. You know how we've all been brought up, blood is thicker than water and that
right.
kind of thing. There's many of us on the planet and many enlightened ones that couldn't be further from the truth, where their families were the least supportive of why they're here and what they're here to do. So it's as we start stepping out of those paradigms that were created for us, not by us, we are stepping into a higher frequency, because all the things that are already there available to us are much more readily captured by us. Okay? So with disclosure, I personally feel it's been going on all along. The way in which it's going to unfold remains to be seen, but you still have a lot of dark factions that are going to fight tooth and nail to prevent that from happening.
Well, it seems like there's probably just a couple rogue factions that have so much control and influence behind the scenes that they're able to keep the real blockbuster, I guess, evidence, like, away from the internet. There's some good stuff on the internet. You can always see pictures, but it seems like there's never that smoking gun that just makes you go, oh, absolutely. There's a reptilian shapeshifter. I can see him right now with that picture, because the Photoshop and everything else that's out there, you always question what looks too good to be true. And then the stuff that it's either too good to be true or it isn't. There's never that happy medium, it seems like. And the internet is so powerful with the algorithms and the supercomputers that it can track what's sent on the internet and get rid of it, I think, before most people can see it.
It's not as easy to find stuff on the internet today as it was literally just a couple of years ago.
You're right.
And they have deliberately made the search engines and the browser's more restrictive, so people can't find the real hidden nuggets. So it takes a lot more patience, and it takes a lot more tenacity to really get at the nuggets. This is something that we really kind of pride ourselves at Galactic Connection, because we're constantly looking for intel that we feel is important enough to put out there and have people look at it and pull out, you know, the good stuff.
Right. Now, these guardians that we are going to discuss here today, and you do a lot of work with them, are they like interdimensional? Are they a part of ourselves, kind of like our guardian angels? Or what are the guardians?
That's a really good question, and it's a loaded question. It's one... In my opinion, the guardians are the messengers that were directly sent in into this timeline. I feel that they are future. They're from the future. They're time travelers. And they specifically came here with very ancient encodements and very ancient wisdom to be able to assist in a very huge project such as what's going on planet Earth. And that would be trying to take going to take an embryonic race who's been severely mind controlled and severely oppressed and not allowed to freely grow and evolve and progress, and turn that into a up-and-coming galactic society. Now, as you can imagine, if you look at where the human race is now versus where we want to be, there's a big gap there.
Oh, yeah.
And the guardians have been sent in very specifically to be that marriage between those two scenarios. So, in my opinion, they will be the walking masters who will be very similar to the apostles, but, you know, different.
Like physical bodies, human bodies. Okay.
And listen, here's the thing, Rex, we're not going to just wake up tomorrow and not be in our physical body. You know, the whole experiment, number one, and the way in which we design this, because we're all involved in this, is so that we could take the best of both worlds. We could take the magnificence and the bliss of being in the spirit and take the magnificence of being in the body where we can taste and we can touch and we can copulate. You know, it's not just an energetic merging. Many say that if you talk to your guides, they will oftentimes say that, you know, that's the one thing that they... if they were going to experience a lower dimension, that would be one of the things that they would like to experience, is the smell of pumpkin pie, right? I mean, these are all the beautiful things of what it's like to be in the body. Why are so many souls trying to incarnate on this planet right now? We need to ask ourselves that. And these are souls from all over the galaxy.
Do you look at the Earth as... a lot of people call it a prison planet or a boot camp of sorts for the soul. Is that what you see this planet as? Just a real dark, dense energy for the most part with glimpses of light and bright?
Yes and no. I would say that this is definitely a prison planet. There are many others. I would say that this is definitely a boot camp. They say that a lot of times this is one of the most difficult ones. I definitely think that's true. But on the other hand, this is Mother Earth. And the biodiversity is unbelievable on this planet. This is why they're so fascinated. You know, the seeding was done on this planet. The seeding of all different sorts of creatures. All different sorts of plants, animals, trees, insects. It was all done here. This is where it all begins.
Now, you say this is where it all begins. Expand on that, if you would.
Meaning, she is the womb. She's the creator.
Okay.
She is the one that's holding the creation and the manifestation of those seeds of life. And many ancient scripts talk about her as a wandering planet, as one who who continues to create wherever she goes.
Okay. And I guess the dualist,
it's a different way of looking at it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Gaia interpretation, Mother Earth, and that is an old school teaching that's been around for a very, very long time, a lot longer than many of the Abrahamic religions. And I find it fascinating that so many people do look at the Earth as just a rock and not a life-giving source. And I certainly believe in a higher power, divine providence, and I feel that the Earth itself has a spark, a soul essence as well, just like you and me. And maybe this balancing act, if we can all be a little bit more in tune with the Earth and how much we take and give back as much as we take, that would probably give us a really quick jump or catapult into this next level of evolution.
Absolutely. One of the greatest things that I ever read long, long ago, talking 20 years ago, they were talking about stars and planets and constellations. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks when they said that as you evolve into a planet, okay, they were talking about that the planet is a higher dimensional being.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. Look at our bodies and the cells and the way that it's put together. It's its own ecosystem and its own universe. If you look at a picture, the picture that they have of the universe, the known universe, as big as it is, or at least what they could get of it. And then they took a picture of a neuro pathway in the brain, and it looks identical. So I guess that's the saying, as above, so below. It kind of reflects off each other. And do you feel that the Earth itself goes through different stages then in the solar system almost, or in different solar systems and different parts of the universe then throughout time? Because you brought that up a minute ago in that.
Yeah, I do. I think, too, here's the problem is that we don't really know what is so much of history, and that means even astronomically, has been lied.
Right.
You know, it's all been lies. So in many of the books and information articles that are out there, it actually shows that the planets that we studied in school are not necessarily of our solar system. And, you know, each of the planets, they typically will have, they're dualistic. They have like a twin. You know, if you think about it, like if there's a planet, it's going to have like a matching star, just like the Earth does, which is one of the reasons that we're coming to this point. But I think Gaia is no different than us, that she's just the same. She's a multidimensional, what I call like a grid, okay, who is blending into all different realities, all different timelines, all different dimensions. And let's face it, what is a dimension to one person is not as maybe just a branch on the tree to another. It's, you know, the wording that we use is what really screws us all up, because we have different perceptions of what a dimension is.
Right. Absolutely. Now, these guardians, you said that they come from the future. They're time travelers. Do you have any idea on how far in the future they come from? Where exactly in the future?
I have been told in my own guidance that they come from three galaxies over.
Okay.
Now, that would never be etched in stone. But the Guardians received the call to come and perform probably one of the more difficult missions that we've had in a long time, and that is to assist in breaking the oppression not only of the people, but of this planet. And I really firmly feel that Mother Earth cried out for assistance, and we responded to that.
Now, what are they going to do, though? I mean, is this going to be like an intergalactic war, Star Trek style? Is it going to be Battlestar Galactica? I mean, I'm just trying to grasp what they can do to get rid of this beast dark ecstasy system that is feeding so You know, it's like a gourmet buffet here on Earth to feed off of this dark ecstasy for whatever it is. It's got all sorts of opportunities. Oh, let's give that person a neurological disorder. Oh, let's blow this person's legs off in Afghanistan. Oh, yes, yay. You know, I mean, like you said, this is a really dense planet, and it could be one of the more dark ones, like you said. So what are they going to do to change that?
That is such a good question. And the answer is staring us in the face. And that is this. If you look back even 5 years ago and you look at the state of affairs then versus now, let's go back to the time of the Bush administration. One of the things I immediately noticed between the time of Bush and the time of Obama, even though they're both puppeteered, so to speak, even though they're both very much involved in you know, the cabal, okay? Back
but
in
they
the
love
Bush
you.
Huh?
I said, but they love you.
Oh, yeah, right. Don't they? They just love us so much. But with Bush, everything was war on drugs, war on this, war on that. It was all over the television. It was all over the radio. I noticed that when Obama came on board, that was no longer being used as often. And it was, you know, people are like, yeah, so what? That's a very important example of just the very slight shifts that have occurred, because we tend to underestimate the power of a word, the power of this interview, the power of sound. That's where it all began.
Right.
You know, and the other thing that's going on that shows that, I mean, we're just having huge leaps. I mean, first of all, we have so many citizens across the world that are really starting to step out of their boxes, step out of their fear, step out of their lackadaisical attitude and say, you know, enough's enough. And many, many skilled, wise people, okay, and I'm not going to say just men, have stated that once the pain gets so bad, this is when change begins, right? So we are at the bottom of the barrel. We are at the end of a world age. If you go back to the time of the Romans, what do we read about? We read about, you know, total filth and persecution and assassinations and orgies and, you know, just complete total disarray within society.
That's what everybody likes to watch on TV now, right?
Exactly. This is where we are. Okay. This is where we are. But have you also seen a very slight change in the media, a very subtle shift in the television and that kind of thing? The one thing I have noticed is the number of pharmaceutical commercials has diminished. Okay. I'm not saying it's completely done, but it has gotten less than when Bush was in. I mean, these are all very subtle things. I look for those, okay? Mm-hmm. Just to see the shifts that are going on the planet. But beyond even that, when you ask me the question, how are we going to get out of this? The only thing that is keeping us and preventing us from getting out of it, especially now, with the amount of light and the quotient of light that is here supporting us, the only thing left right now is for us to step into our power and recognize that we are no longer in the prison. It's like the classic World War II story where the troops went in, they opened up the gates of all the concentration camps, and these people that had been confined for so long, they wouldn't come out. They were afraid. They thought it was, you know, some sort of trick. Wow. And we are very much similarly going through the same thing. Now, there's also decrees that have been made, and there's particular types of light frequencies that are entering the planet that are also initiating people, that are motivating people, that are activating people to step out of their boxes. So you combine those two and you've got a very amazing, what I continue to put out there, revolution of love. And this is something that all of us that are in the light community, that's very near and dear to our hearts, we do not feel that the revolution has to be with bloodshed or guns or, you know, hostility, because we can do it that way. We just have to make the decision that we can do it that way.
Well, knowledge is power, and that's probably why those that do have the majority of the power behind the scenes tend to not give valuable knowledge to the masses, because they look at the masses as lemmings or sheep, and they're the wolf, they're the shepherd, they feel, they're the gatekeepers, they feel, and they've been initiated, they have the specific bloodlines to be that way, they feel. And now people are starting to realize, no, that's not the case. We have as much power and authority as you do. Just because we don't have the same aristocratic bloodline or the same title in our name, that doesn't mean we're not as important as you. And people are starting to wake up, I feel. And those that do want to make a difference, they need to be the change that they want to see.
Yes.
That's the key. Be the change you want to see, guys. Everybody that listens to this podcast, if there's something you want to see different, do it in a nonviolent fashion.
So agree with that. And we now have the capacity to do that, not only technologically. I mean, look how far we've come just in 5 years. I mean, it's just crazy, the opportunities that are available to us. But if you look to any subject, any topic on the planet that's really near and dear to your hearts, I can guarantee you that it needs assistance, that it needs tweaking, that it needs someone standing with a banner going, hey, pay attention to this. And doing it through that particular individual's lens. We all have a perspective to participate in this so that it's successful. Does that make sense? For example, you may not agree with me on a particular topic, but I'm going to honor what you have to say and look at it. That does not mean I'm going to agree on it or act on it.
Well, and that's the thing, is there's a lot of people that will say, oh, you had me up until you made this comment. Well, guys, nobody's right 100% of the time in anybody's mind. I mean, take everything and use your gut instinct and intuition, yet often take information and at least look at it first before you shut it off. Because what does a mind and a parachute have in common, folks? They don't work unless they're open. Right? Your mind doesn't work unless it's open. Same with the parachute. So, and at the same time, if your mind is too open, then there's things that might not want to go in there. So obviously, use some balance there.
And Rex, I'd like to add on to that. If somebody's giving you heat, hey, I followed you all the way up to this point, and now, you know, I've completely just shut down what you have to say because of this one point. There's two things to think of. Number one, if you know absolutely through your own testimony or your own experience that that is not your truth in that particular segment of what you're saying, that's fine. That does not eradicate the rest of what you're saying. We have tended to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Okay? I'll give you an example on that. A lot of people say Obama is evil, he is part of the cabal, he is a president. There's no way a president can even get into a position unless they're doing some pretty dastardly deeds, as we all know. This has been shown and proven time again. But that's completely ignoring the strength and the miraculous capabilities of the light to work through darkness to bring forth that agenda, right? So with all of these particular types of individuals across the world who are playing very key roles, like Putin, for example, okay, they're playing some really difficult parts. And my opinion is the light will work through them in whatever capacity they can. And that can be from they not doing anything at all regarding a particular topic. That can affect countless lives by their lack of action.
Well,
What I'm trying to say is we need to stop being so black and so white and understand that that whole section in between those two parameters has validity.
Well, and oftentimes people are their own worst enemies because they don't understand something, or it's something that they don't want to understand because it might change their mind on something, and they just want to cling on to those beliefs. So, you know, I don't have the answers on anything, really. I'm agnostic to everything now, which is quite funny because I used to think I had all the answers, and or most of them anyway. And then once you get to that point, it's like, wow, I don't know anything. So, you know.
So true. I mean, seriously, we that's the spiral, right? You get to a point where you've gone all the way around, and then you come back to the point where, gee, I don't really have all the answers, and maybe I'm not supposed to.
Right.
And that was my number. The second thing I was going to make a point of is if someone is saying, hey, you had me all along until I got here, that is an action item for that individual to step back and say, why am I closing the door on this information? Is it based on fear? Is it based on pride? Is it based on ego? Is it based on inflexibility? Because guess what? None of those have any place when it comes to going into a galactic society.
Now, these galactic societies that have, you know, I've often looked at this world and with all the hardships and division and just everything that's going on, it's a soup of everything. It's definitely a gumbo soup. You've got good, bad, everything in between. It's this dual universe that we live in. At least this world is a dual world. So is it going to take the entire planet and everybody on this world to come together and sing Kumbaya or something like that before the consciousness of humankind will go to that next level? I mean, if there's 5 or 10 stragglers out of 50 million people, are those 5, 10 people going to keep the rest of the millions suppressed down to a certain level? Because we're all connected at some primordial point or quantum level anyway, aren't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what does that mean? That those 5 to 10, they'll go their own way and they'll find that space when they are ready to. It doesn't keep progress from going on. I think the other thing that's so confusing about ascension symptoms is we already are there. We're already in the midst of it. We tend to think in our linear minds that we're going to wake up and everything's going to be different. And right now, we're already going into that differentness. Every minute of the day is a different breath of life. It's a different way of seeing things if you live your life like that. That's what they mean by everything's about the journey, not about the end goal. So no matter what you're reading, whether it's you know, truth seekers information or channelings or what have you, you're going to read over and over again that we're already in the midst of all of these shifts and changes. I mean, if nothing stops, right? What can we always guarantee? We can always guarantee in this reality that there is always change. So we're already in the change. I keep reminding people. It's not like we're waiting for the change. We're in it. We're creating it. And our thoughts and the way that we see ourselves as a mass consciousness, even the way we get up in the morning, if we tend to take more time to really think about second-guessing something that you wanted to do or say to another individual and it wasn't so nice, if you're second-guessing that and you're really stepping back and going, you know what, that's not really the coolest thing for me to do, and I really need to come from more of a space of love, or maybe more compassion, or maybe I need to understand more about that individual and what their day is like, you know, then we're affecting the whole pool. We can't help it. Here's another thing about programs, okay, and frequencies. There are programs that have been laid on top of our cities around the world. They're literally these dense frequency bands. They're almost like a rubber band of a frequency of a program. And they're being removed, one right after the other. Okay, I'm not saying they're all gone, because some of them we've implemented ourselves. But what's happening is, as we continue to remove those programs, those frequency bands that are always pushing down on the populace, causing us to feel like we don't really have anywhere to go. We don't have any way to get out of what we're in. anytime your mind's going there, you know it's a program. Because that's not of the all is. The all is of ever, ever complex states of consciousness always expanding.
Now, with our consciousness expanding, I mean, what happens when we do die then? And I got to bring up this real quick. I think it's kind of important. I had brought up Lance before a couple of times on the show, where we sent out some energy to, you know, see if we could give him a little boost or something like that. But I just feel it was too late. He was kind of eating himself to the point of, you know, gaining weight on a weekly basis. Make a long story short, the doctors had him on 12 medications, and I am convinced that those, in my opinion, that those medications cooked his organs, literally cooked his organs until it was just too late. And the last few days we had with him, we got him home, and you could see him kind of like reaching out. You know, he wasn't really there, but it was almost like he was reaching out to somebody that we couldn't see that he could, like a spirit or something like that.
Yes.
And I just hope that he has peace now. I really do.
Yeah, and that is what they'll start to do days before they're going to pass. They've already reconnected with their soul families, their guides, and whoever's waiting for them on the other side. You know, there's a couple of things about that. Number one, I really want to address this because we tend to kind of be hard on ourselves about our so-called contracts. You know, those are... I feel those can be broken now. You can reinstate different contracts at this time. If you've come here and you decided that at the age of 92 you were going to die, but then you've got all these amazing energies and technologies that are causing us literally to be getting younger, and you really have a mission, and you really want to stick around, there is a possibility that you can now do that. There is not this black and white supposed contract going on. Now, in his case, there's a couple of things. When you say that he was gaining a lot of weight, Rex, why do people gain weight? I've gone through it myself. It's because you're protecting yourself.
Right.
The body works on various things such as cysts, cancers, viruses, bacteriums. And the first thing it will do is it will build walls around that to protect the rest of the organ. I mean, the body is just amazing. And a lot of times you will put weight on for a variety of reasons. There are too many to even list. But ultimately, the thing that we've all realized is that it's for protection purposes. So that's number one. Number two, if he was taking 12 pharmaceuticals, I can tell you right now, he made the choice to trust in someone else to make the decision how to heal himself.
Well, he did, because we got to remember, if you've been in the military, you're kind of conditioned to believe if somebody has a certain label or if they're an authority figure like a doctor and they've got this nice little certificate on the wall and this really fancy white jacket and, oh, well, you know, I'm going to take their word for it. It's really unfortunate, but there's so many people that have been raised that way.
Yes.
That they just don't, there's no other way for them. They wouldn't even think about it. It's just something that doesn't even come into their heads.
I do understand that. But again, we're getting back to the main thing as to the previous question that you presented. And that is, when are people going to step out of their boxes where they feel that somebody else has to always fix them? The thing about the healer community, the thing about the alternative health community that is so refreshing is that they will... typically, I would say, always approach you where you are a full participant in the decisions and the way in which you are going to move forward. It is not about patient doctor. It's about two people working together for the same goal. So we have been conditioned to just sit back and let everything be done for us. And we're trusting. Look at what we're trusting.
Right.
With our own very lives. You could no more, listen, when I was in bed for 3 years and I thought I was going to die, I was on two pharmaceutical drugs and I was so anti-pharmaceutical drugs. Okay. I got on those drugs because I literally couldn't even face my day. The pain was so severe. I went to go see a chiropractor way ahead of the game because I still wasn't ready for anybody to touch me. And he made one statement to me. And that statement was, you will not get better if you don't stop taking these toxic substances. Your body's already overloaded, severely overloaded with all kinds of, you know, pain and organ shutdown and, you know, blockages and all the things that go on after you've had an accident, you know, damage, trauma, etc. If you put more of a burden on the body at the time when it's in that severe of a condition, what are you going to get? So if you study pharmaceutical drugs, they are designed to almost always be at least a molecule off of a natural substance. I don't know if you knew that.
No, but I heard that most of them are derived from actually petroleum type molecules.
That too. Well, they'll add that in there. But what I'm saying is, like, if you take certain substances, they'll take the idea from a natural substance.
So they can patent it, huh?
Exactly, because of the patent thing. But what happens? So when we take a pharmaceutical drug, it's kind of like, you know, flipping the coin up in the air and saying heads or tails. Okay, one is, this is going to make my body worse, this is going to make my body better. Because you have to look at the way the body deals with contaminants and toxins. And if it doesn't have the perfect framework for that puzzle piece to be put into, then the body brilliantly will look for a place to safely safeguard it so it doesn't do any damage to the rest of the body. Well, when the body's doing that with GMO foods and polluted water and chemtrailed air and EMF frequencies, and, you know, I mean, I could go on and on, microwaving, you know, all these things. That, what are our bodies doing today? They're like finding places all over our bodies to try to safeguard and hide stuff away that they consider to be toxic and not, you know, beneficial for us.
You know,
when are we going to stop giving 100% of our power away to anyone?
Exactly. And what you just said, those few statements, chemtrails, poisoning the food, the water, etc. When that stuff stops, then I'm going to say, you know what? Maybe we are going into this next level of evolution. When Pepsi isn't around anymore selling poison to babies and kids and everybody from every age, when, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken isn't creating these genetically modified chickens that live in these little tiny cages filled with steroids and they can't even walk more than a couple feet without collapsing because their bones won't handle their weight, when I don't see babies filled with thimerosal and all sorts of other adjuvants at birth, when this kind of stuff happens, then I'm going to start saying, you know what? We're really starting to make an impact. And I do. Now I'm looking for these things. And people are becoming aware of it. And more people are saying, no, you will not assimilate me. I will not let you inject my child with 18 different vaccines before they're a year old. And no, you're not going to give me this drug. I'm going to go out and find a way to heal myself.
Absolutely. And on top of that, I hate to bring this up, but, you know, it is what it is. But you look at the fast food restaurants, and there's a link there between the meat that they're serving and human meat.
They found human, haven't they found human DNA in a lot of these fast food places?
Absolutely. The food? And you know, if you pendulum it, I don't know if you guys have a pendulum out there. If you don't, go buy one and start playing with it and start penduluming. You will be blown away how many of the fast food restaurants have food that you would never even consider feeding to your dog, let alone yourself. So, you know, yes, you're right. Now, if let's just say in a perfect world that all of that's cleaned up. Because honestly, Rex, I get what you're saying, but at the same time, you have to look for the small victories. You really do. I'm looking at the skies today. I don't see a ton of chemtrails. In fact, I don't see any today. And I have noticed, if you back up 5 years ago, our skies were plastered.
Oh yeah.
And it was
big
a
time.
Rare, it was a rare moment to have blue skies. And I'm in Southern California.
Oh yeah.
It was bad. I mean, it was really bad. It was so depressing. You'd get up every day and you'd be like, God, I can't even see the sun.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. Yeah, back in 2011, I did a 3,500-mile motorcycle trip. I wanted to go up and visit my family, so I went to New Mexico, Utah, Colorado, Arizona, and out here in Texas. I did it in 7 days. And when I was out in southern Utah, out there by the Four Corners area, I went to the National Arches, the Canyonlands, and I was talking to people there. I said, man, can you guys see all that stuff that's just falling from the skies? And they said, yeah, I've never seen anything like that before. I asked the rangers what they thought it was, and they said it was from forest fires in another state. I said, no, those are chemtrails. Look, you can see they're blasting the skies. You can see the particulates falling down with your polarized sunglasses on. And these guys are like, and they were older folks, you know, they were probably in their 70s and very down to earth when I said it. And they looked at it and they said, you're right. Look at that. So even, you know, somebody that's been conditioned not to believe in any of that conspiracy stuff, you can see it with your own eyes.
It was very intense. And also just what you just said just now, that is a frequency. Okay, that is a frequency that has landed on the planet. I actually have heard this and have experienced it in my own healing work with others, that there are frequencies that have been specifically designed by, let's just call it, another master creator, okay, if you're agnostic. And these frequencies have been specifically designed to get people out of the zombie state. It's to counteract all the programming, all the heavy mind controlling that's being done. So it's amazing. If you take just one little task a day, and that is to go into a store or go get your gasoline pump to pay the bill, just make one statement to the people behind the desk or whoever you run into and just say something. Anything that brings it to their awareness, you're going to be pretty blown away how receptive people are today. Rex, it blows my mind. I mean, just compared to 3 years ago, it's like night and day. I was out the other day and I started talking about the Vatican and child sacrifice because I like to see how people are going to react.
Well, that'll definitely get a reaction.
And I did it in a very diplomatic way. You know, I mean, if you hit people too hard, too fast, too soon, you're just going to shut them down.
Right.
But I did it in such a way, and their eyes were like, you know, this. And they were just like, really? And I said, oh, yeah. I said, here, check out this website. And they're like, yeah, gosh, do you have a business card? They're really hungry. So that frequency has landed. What does that mean to us? That means that we need to have a bit more faith that there's a large force other than those on the ground floor, the ground crew, that are definitely watching our backs. We have to, you know, we don't have to, but we really need to consider how much protection we do have. I used to say this all the time in earlier interviews. We would be dead now if there wasn't some phenomenal amount of effort being done in our skies to counter all of the crap that's been sprayed. Our dogs and cats that walk outside and go to the bathroom, all the animals that stay outside, the horses, they would all be dead.
So you feel that there's definitely an influence kind of counteracting all of the negative.
Huh. Totally. In fact, I remember blogging a long time ago. This was a really important post that we put up. This is years ago. Somebody had actually busted some UFOs, which I shouldn't say, flying saucers. And they had actually taken a picture of a couple of them that were flanking the chemtrail. And they caught this on a piece of, you know, film or whatever. And it was, you know, a lot of people tapped in, and it was very much shown that this was one of the ways in which they counter the nasty effects of the chemtrails. I mean, think about it. We have open source water. It runs. I mean, just in Southern California, we run our water from Northern California all the way down to Southern California. We also get water occasionally from Colorado. That runs, and it's open to the environment and the elements. We would all be dead If you look at the analysis of what is in the chemtrails, it doesn't take a whole lot to figure out that if you congest that on a regular basis, you're gonna pretty much die.
Yeah, that's another thing that makes me feel this is a boot camp planet. They're doing their best to just see what will take physically, mentally, spiritually. I guess they're looking for those rogue individuals that will still be able to break out of all the nonsense and find source. You know, I mean, this is, like you said, we're going through so much right now, trials and tribulations. It's absolutely incredible.
But we're being called to look at our trials in a different way. I mean, I just had an experience today with a client, and I said, what if I was to tell you that if you commanded that you received assistance in this certain area, or if you accepted this frequency, this band of love, or if you opened your heart, you know, these were all different concepts than what was typically addressed when you're sick and not feeling well. This individual had a radical shift. It was like a realization. It was like, wow, there really is support out there. It's this invisible, I can't tangibly put my finger on it, but I'm now seeing that it's really happening. And this is what we're breaking out of is, you know, we've heard about it. We've heard, for example, that there is a God, okay? For those that don't have, you know, clairvoyance and gifts that are really intact yet, okay, or you don't think they're intact yet, you know, you're hearing about, oh, there's all these angels and all these beings that are here to assist us. And yeah, but how does that affect me? I don't see it. You know, you end up becoming the doubting Thomas. And now what I'm saying to people is call them forth. Put your money where your mouth is and see if you don't have some changes go down in your life.
That's where religion.
How powerful. Huh?
Sorry to interrupt. I was just going to say that's where religion comes in so many times, where if somebody has a specific religious belief, they're going to think that they're calling out demons or the devil or, you know, Satan himself. And unfortunately, I feel as if that is so powerful. You know, the Holy Bible, whether it's a compilation of texts for political beliefs or whatever it is, it seems as if it's so powerful that even if it's wrong. And I think there's a lot of stuff in there that isn't accurate, but that's just my own personal belief, and everybody has their own beliefs, and I think that that's great. But how do you break out of that? I mean, if you've been conditioned your whole life, if your parents were conditioned their whole lives, their parents, etc., you're not going to be able to get out of that very easy. That's the biggest form of mind control in the world, in my opinion.
Yes, and I have to say I agree with you. And for those that are struggling with that, and actually we've had quite a few come in to subscribe to Galactic Connection, and I really want to applaud them, because it's the biggest step forward is to just be willing to read something that you were told you were never supposed to read, right? I mean, within so many of these religions, it's like, oh, no, you don't read that. You don't spend time with those people. Well, why would they say that? It's because they don't want you to expand your consciousness beyond that box of what you're supposed to believe. So, again, if you're buying into that, then you must believe, ultimately, deep down inside, that you can't handle what's outside that box.
Well, and I've got to even say, I mean, I was raised Christian, and when I broke out of that belief system, even still today, when I sometimes think, man, am I going to go to hell for thinking this or not believing in Jesus the way I'm supposed to? Am I going to spend eternity in this abyss of lake of fire and brimstone? And I don't know. I mean, really, that stuff comes through my mind even to this day. So I can certainly see. And once again, I am not knocking anybody's beliefs. I mean, if that is your true beliefs, that's fantastic. There's some amazing things in the Bible and words of wisdom. Yet when you read stuff in the Bible that says stone your kids if they don't have faith, literally it says that in the Bible, you should stone your kids if they don't have faith. Or, you know, when God tells Abraham to kill 50,000 men, women, and children, and even the livestock because they're supposedly evil giants, wouldn't an all-knowing God already know what they were going to be? Therefore, would he want to create something to fail? And then people say, well, it's freedom of, you can have the freedom to do what you want. It's free will. Is it really free will if you do something that's going to put you into an eternal dark abyss?
Not only that, but what's the golden rule? You do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. That was the ultimate message from Christ.
Bingo.
Okay, so that's number one. Number two, if we all accept the fact that we are of the same creator, then why would we want to hurt one another if we're of the same creator, we're of the same stuff that the universe is made of? We're actually ultimately hurting ourselves. And number three, if you look at the Old Testament, it is not referring to the same God as the New Testament.
No, I mean, they're completely different. There's 66 books in that compilation.
But that's the purpose, you know. When you start looking at the Bible, and my husband's really dialed in, total Bible scholar, for God's sake. I mean, he was really into prophecy. He was brought up in an extremely religious home, Christian home. And now, with the amount of knowledge and enlightenment that he has, he can actually look at that Bible and read between the lines. So, again, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Understand that there still are messages within that are very, very indicative and very important, depending on if that floats your boat, right? But it does refer to extraterrestrials. It does refer to ascension. It does refer to enlightenment, connection with a higher power. It has all kinds of cool stuff in there, if that's something that turns you on. My point is, if you're going to go down a certain route because you believe a certain way and you run into someone who literally is knocking up against your belief system, we all run into this from time to time, right? You go to a party, you're very strong in your belief or whatever, or you know exactly what to be true. Let's say you're a contactee. You know absolutely that you've been up on a ship. You could describe the ship to the absolute detail. And this individual is talking about how extraterrestrials don't exist, and it's really like kicking you, you know, it's really irritating you because you know that that's not true. You are going to not only bless them, but bless yourself by saying, well, you know what? In your sphere and in your reality, that's true. In my reality, it's not. Let me tell you why. And as we start recognizing that everyone has their own truth, number one, okay? And number two, every one of us is living in our own reality because we're all our own manifestors and creators. We create our own spheres of reality.
Well, that's been scientifically proven that we are all co-creators.
Absolutely. So why would we get in a hissy fit over the fact that somebody says something like that? That's my whole point. Why are we not accepting? I mean, even if it's something that's just really not, you know, it's dissonant, vulgar maybe, but it's something they went through, who are we to say they did not go through that?
Oh, exactly.
You know, it's really kind of screwed up. I mean, I can tell you right now, I've had many clients who suffered just from the mere fact that no one listened to anything they said to be their truth. Now, how much of a sad state of affairs is that for this planet?
Well, it's got to be extremely difficult for the individual because not only do they have that experience, but then nobody believes them or will even listen to them. It's really unfortunate when certain things happen to some people, because if they don't have an avenue to get that information or talk to somebody, then that could cause them pain and anguish, and it's not good for anybody.
And good point. And the other thing, Rex, is let's go back to the 1800s. In the late 1800s, when a wife would become overly hysterical and sob and become deeply depressed, what would they do with her? They'd put her in an insane asylum.
Well, I remember when lobotomies was real popular. And sorry to interrupt, but I remember when lobotomies was real popular in the 40s and 50s. Oh, my housewife, man, she's way too progressive, sir. Can you please help her, doctor? It's crazy.
But now we're finding that these very people that were put in these sanatoriums or insane asylums or whatever you call them today, they have some nice little political name for them today. In many cases, there are alternative doctors and therapies that have determined that it could be something as simple as their blood sugar. It could be something as simple as their amino acids and electrolytes.
Of course.
That affected them. Or it could be something as simple as they were a contactee and saw an extraterrestrial. But the whole society was out to say, oh gosh, you're crazy. Now look how far we've come since then. Now anybody and their brother can write anything on the internet and put it out there. It's up to us to use our mastery and our discerning skills as to what kind of junk we're going to put into our heads.
You know, that's a good point. We do have, in today's day and age, for the most part, to do what we want to do, make up our own minds, write our own research, go out and look for stuff. I know here at the Leak Project recently, I saw in the mainstream news about how there's these two giant sinkholes in these small towns in Texas that are going to engulf the entire town. So I spent about 5.5 hours. I drove out there the other day and I got some pretty, got some pretty good on-scene video footage. And these, it smelled like rotten eggs. The sulfur was so intense that if you're prone to headaches or stomach aches, I'm telling you, you would not want to be in this area. But I went out there and I got the footage. Most of the stuff was fenced off, but it just goes to show how powerful the media is, and they can spin something and make it this huge worldwide deal when in reality it wasn't that big of a deal because there's not a whole lot of houses in the area where these sinkholes are. It's probably going to take another 50 years for these things to get anywhere close to these houses, but the media just makes it sound like, oh my gosh, you know, Texas is going to collapse because of these two sinkholes. People like you.
Because they want to create fear.
Yep.
And what does fear do?
Listen. Sells product.
Okay, but what else does it do on an energetic level?
Well, it brings you down to a certain level where you're in that fight or flight mode and you're a lot easier to control. And if you're in that fear-based mode, a lot of times because you're in that fight or flight mode, you don't expand your consciousness to think about other opportunities because you're just transitioned in that small box.
Correct. And the other thing that it does is we create what's called ectoplasma.
Like Ghostbusters.
We actually create that when we go into a state of fear.
That's what they feed off of, huh?
Yeah, and they eat that. They eat that. This is what keeps the reptilians from not shape-shifting on air.
Now, have you seen some of those videos where they actually do, their eyes start to manipulate and they go all... Do you think some of those are legit?
Yes, and actually I know they're legit because I've seen them myself with other individuals.
Ooh, talk to us about that.
Ugh. Do I have to?
The reptilian shapeshifters.
It's just very, very legitimate that there's many people that have been run. Let me just start over here. We really are being challenged to not forget the divine spark of the human being. We should never forget that each of us has a divine spark. There are many that are not consciously aware that they have been hijacked to the point where they were born with this parasite calling all the shots. So as the host, a lot of people are not aware that they're hosting that parasitic being that's basically calling the shots. Now, how do we find out ways in which we have been hijacked by a parasite, meaning, you know, a reptilian, a draconian, you know, there's many of them, okay, because we're in that field. How do you know that? Because you start doing really stupid things that are not for your best interest. Okay? Like jumping off a bridge when you know that it's probably going to kill you and you really didn't want to, but something compelled you to do it. Or continuing to do the same thing over again and over and over and over and over and over, even though, you know, it hurts you every time. These are all indications that you are being controlled by something that's parasitic. Or looping thoughts. Thoughts that keep coming into your mind. And, you know, you're thinking to yourself, why am I continually thinking about that? There are people that write into me where they actually hear radio stations. Believe it or not.
You think that's from the government? Like black ops type stuff?
These are implants for sure. But what I'm saying is this is a reality. And there are many people that are being puppeted through these devices or beams to live their life and do things that are not advantageous or very nice to other people.
Now, I'm sure you've heard of the Lesser Keys of Solomon, right?
Yes.
Okay. And there's the 72 demons or entities that Solomon used to create his castles and his empires. And if you create these sidzils and call upon these entities, you can harness their powers as well, according to the work. And I'm wondering if these deities come from the same place that many of these reptilians or Dracos do. I've heard the theory before that ETs, some of them, come from the same place. Not all of them, obviously, because the universe is so big, it would be mathematically impossible not to have other beings like ourselves around the universe. But do you think that some of the stuff we see could actually be demons or interdimensional type stuff that we can't
really... Absolutely. Absolutely. It isn't necessarily an extraterrestrial force. And in fact, there's many of us as healers that totally... I got this message directly myself. That there were a bunch of portals that blew open at the first of the year, which actually I found out aligns with revelations. And those portals blew open because this was the way in which a lot of the contained dark beings that are underground, they were able to come into the surface level and create more havoc for us. This is all part of their plan. It's just like a phase, you know. Okay, well, now what do we do to bring down these people? Because they know they're losing. They know that they're losing ground. But definitely there are demonic spirits, no question about it. And there are beings that we have read about. Let's just put it this way, folks. If you've read about them, if you've thought about them, guess what? They were probably created. If they weren't really there to begin with, we've now created them because a large group of us thought about them, read about them, worshiped them. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're putting that energy and sculpting it, co-creating it, like we talked about earlier.
Yes.
Well, and that's another thing. Yeah, and sorry to interrupt again, but I just thought of all the movies that are coming out, that just these blockbuster films that push certain agendas and the MKUltra programming that they use, I'm sure, with these films to create certain archetypes, feelings, emotions. Wow, this could be the ultimate food source for these ETs, right? Certain movies and films get people to think certain ways, certain emotions, reactions, and they're just sitting there funneling it all in. Wow.
Well, and my response to that would be this. Okay. Can you, Rex, go to a movie and be able to maintain a neutral position in watching it?
I guess if I really needed to, but would I choose to watch it neutrally? No. I mean, I usually get into them quite a bit.
Okay. Would you get into it to the point where you would buy into the fact that the sky is falling and the earth is going to fall into the ocean and everybody's going to die?
Not anymore. I've gone through that too many times in the past.
Okay, good. So then you are capable of seeing one of these movies from a state of neutrality. And if you don't like that word, from a state of observing.
Of course.
So it's really important for all of us to start looking at all this stuff. I mean, you asked me a little while ago about disclosure. My God, how much more disclosure can we get right now? Look at what's going on with Brexit. Look at what's going on with all the information that Putin's put out within the last 6 months about the United States and the executive cabinet.
Well, it seems
isn't disclosure, I don't know what is. You know, there's so much coming out. You can't even keep up with it.
You're right. The only thing that there hasn't been is the official government stamp of approval on a specific video or image. And it seems like that's what people have to have. No, matter of fact, I think what people need now to absolutely believe in ETs is they need a mainstream media outlet to come out and say, here it is, folks. We found aliens. They're right here. I mean, it doesn't even need to have a government approval. It just has to have some of those mainstream media outlet names on it to get that, oh, yeah, okay, well, it was on Fox News, so it must be real.
But it's already happening. I think we just blogged something. I'm trying to remember We just blogged something the other day, and I think it was CNN. Gosh. And they were talking about this green sphere that was traveling through the galaxy. I don't know if you've seen that one.
No, that sounds cool.
Pretty mind-blowing, actually. And it's traveling towards our solar system, and supposedly they have it all on, you know, video and everything. Now, of course, someone like me, the first thing I'm going to say to myself is, you know, how does that feel intuitively, number one? And number two, does NASA have their fingers all over this? And number three, what's NASA's agenda? You've got to look at everything that's coming to you and say, okay, let's look at who's what, and where, when, how, why, okay? Because there's so much information out there. But regarding, you know, the way in which we look at the information, when are we going to step into a place where we decide that we want peace, period, that we want harmony, and that we want disclosure with our brothers, our galactic brothers and sisters? When we make that decision, and you're right, it is kind of a mathematical equation. Once we have so many people, we hit a certain peak of the number of folks that do that. And it's not about the masses. I think I said that to you in the last interview. It's about the select enlightened ones that are already on this path. Once we do that, things will radically, radically change very quickly. It's already happening. That's what I'm trying to say to you. I don't think there's more than maybe a couple hundred thousand of us, seriously, mm-hmm. on the entire planet that are like really have our eyes open and really get the connection between all this stuff. And once we decide that we are ready, it's going to happen.
Right on.
That's how much power we have. That's how much authority we have. That's what, you know, when I get called to a mission, that's one of the first things I hear. Gee, we've been waiting for you to ask. We've been waiting for you to take action.
Right on.
Seriously.
It's amazing that now we do have the tools to get in contact with other people that have like-minded ideas. And I'm thinking about what I was told many years ago when we started to enter this new star phase called the Age of Aquarius, and how the Age of Aquarius is actually linked to knowledge, information, a renaissance of sorts. And then on the other side of the coin, I've heard people say, oh, the Age of Aquarius, that's the Age of Satan. So, you know, you've still got that division again and that polarity of opposites. And it seems to me like there's a lot more incredible things going on right now than 10, 20 years ago. And at the same time, there's also a lot more horrific things going on. Maybe it's just because we are more interconnected, so we can read about it on the internet. There's more information out there. You talked about Revelation, the book of Revelation earlier, and many people feel we're in those end times, yet it seems to me that it's probably already been there, always been there. You read Revelation and, you know, for example, one of the signs is rumors of war, constant wars. Well, hasn't it always been that way, at least in modern history or what we've been raised to learn? It seems like even tribal warfare has been going on for hundreds of thousands of years. So that in and of itself could be just another form of control. And like we said earlier, you write something on paper, you get a million people to read it and believe it, therefore they create it. Maybe Revelation was actually created as a game plan for catastrophes and mind control.
Mm-hmm. I feel that way too. And it was at the same time, depending on your lens and what you focused in on, it was a warning. It was a warning. So, you know, we need, as a citizenry around the world, good God, in order for us to work with the Dutch or the Australians or the Brits or the Japanese or the Chinese or the Russians or whoever, how are we going to work as one unified field if we can't even get over just little basics like what you were just talking about?
Right.
You know, this is a time we're being called to grow up in a big way. When you go to work at a corporation and you're sitting next to a Buddhist, but you're a Christian, when you're at work, you're going to treat them with respect because you feel like that's part of the corporate policy, is it not?
Absolutely.
So why don't we take that a step further and look at the fact that every man, woman, and child has the right to live their life the way they do as long as they're not oppressing and taking away the free will of another living being. Period. That was the golden rule. That's my opinion anyway. And well, that's what I focus on.
That's the universal law. Treat others as you want to be treated and don't tread on me. I won't tread on you. Absolutely. It's just fascinating. And you look at these big systems of control and they do the exact opposite. Oh, well, our title is this and you're just a citizen. So you have to pay us this and you have to follow these rules because we have to keep everybody safe in this little ant-like clone society.
But hey, there you go. You have a choice, right?
Everybody always has a choice, yes.
Absolutely. You have a decision to make. Are you going to follow? Are you going to lead and go down a different path that you feel you're completely in alignment with? This is what we're being called to do. As it has been stated, this is the first time historically that we are allowed to speak openly on the internet the way you and I are doing without having our heads chopped off, without being thrown in a loony bin.
Right.
We have complete freedom of speech, which is, again, that's another frequency that's been dumped on this planet to help us speak out, to help us wake people up, to help people recognize who they really are. The human race is actually a magnificent race that has been convinced that it's not and has been so incredibly isolated as well as enslaved. So, of course, they're going to be the way they are.
Right.
You know, and for whatever reason, I broke out of my little prison a while ago. And all of the people, as it's all in divine timing, as they're destined to do so, they will. But this is 2016's call. How much longer do we want to just let other people make decisions for us? And we're talking institutions that have already been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that want to kill us. That is not a good decision.
Well, and have you noticed as well, a lot of people say, well, if the government really did want to take out 90-something percent of the population, like in the Georgia Guidestones, it would be a lot easier to do than, you know, I mean, because seriously, they could put something in the water, in the air, in the food. They could say it's organic and find a way to inject something in there, whatever. Right. I mean, there's a trillion ways to do it, but I don't think they want to kill everybody off. I feel that they want to keep people like sick or just down to where they can still function in society and be little good worker slaves for the elite class or whatever. Yet they keep people down to the point to where they can't break out of it, kind of like you did. You know, I mean, you were 3 years bedridden. You were knocking on heaven's door and you flipped it around. You became just an incredible Jedi. And now you're changing the world. You're being a co-creator. You're being the change you want to see.
And you know, back to the Christian thing. The bottom line is, if you're a Christian and what you're being taught isn't working for you, then create the bridge from what you believe, to what you think is your future. This is what we're all looking to. You know, it is no longer working that we are kind of stuck and stagnated in the old 1950s construct. Like, we're really being cajoled and actually kicked in the butt to start creating new systems that are going to expand and grow with us, not these, you know, stainless steel, not giving at all to any kind of changes that are going to go down, because guess what? They're not going to make it. Everything that we are involved in right now, we're learning that we have to ebb and flow more. You know, we're learning that we can't control, that we don't have all the answers, that sometimes we need to surrender. And in a big way, because all we get hit with is, doomsday, and oh, you know, Nibiru is going to come and explode, and you know, I mean, there's so much fear.
Pole shift, extinction level event, boom.
There's so much stuff. It's like, go in your heart, you know, just right now. Just go in your heart and ask yourself, does that feel right? It doesn't to me. It you know, I don't believe that my creator wants to blow all of us up. And in fact, why would all of these extraterrestrials, there's millions of ships surrounding this planet. Millions. Now, why would they be here? Ask yourself that. Right? You know, would they be here just because we're like the funnest TV show in town for them? I think they have bigger fish to fry.
We're the Truman Show for them.
But you know what
Truman.
I mean. There's so much more to this than meets the eye. Once we make a decision that we're not going to accept all the stuff we've been spoon-fed since we were in our cribs, really start developing our own sense of truth. If you disagree with me, that's okay. As long as you honor me and I honor you. And as long as we can sit at a table and focus on one major goal, which is to bring this planet to a state of peace and harmony and help every living being get out of suffering and pain and oppression and, you know, implanting and control.
You know, I got to say that when you brought that up a minute ago, I feel that the book of Revelation, it talks about how the Antichrist or the false prophet comes out and creates world peace, a one world order, everybody becomes kumbaya. So I think that in and of itself will keep a fear-based subconscious factor in many people's minds, including myself, you know? So when you, that's another thing. There's all these little
good point, booby traps. They're brilliant. They're brilliant, Rex. The dark factions are without a doubt some of the most brilliant, cunning beings out there. But are we learning from them, or are we just hating them?
Learning is a much more valuable tool.
You know what I mean? Are we looking at them and observing them and sharpening our game plan? That's what we need to be doing. That's what's going on right now. We're being like groomed to jump. You know, what's the old saying? I the adage, gosh, I can't think of it right now, but you know, I mean, if you're trying out for a period for a position of excellence, mm-hmm. and you're up against, you know, 17 different candidates, you've got to really be on top of your game.
Right.
And that's where we're at. And we designed this. We're part of this. We're all part of this process because we recognize how severe it got. The darkness, if you look at it macroscopically, you pull back and you look at the planet, the darkness is nothing more than the virus in the body. And the light is, you know, the herbs and the medicine and the therapies and what have you. Try to bring balance. We're never going to eradicate all darkness in this reality, nor should we want to.
That's what I was going to say.
Learn from that in this reality. You know, we came here to kind of, you know, shake things up, right?
Right. And there has to be that duality to a sense, because you have to, something to measure it, a measure of something, I guess.
Yes. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because this has been in my head and I kept forgetting to bring it up. You brought it up a couple times before. I want everyone to see this if you can, you know, if I do a good enough job describing it. So we are essentially in a universe which is dualistic, like Rex talked about. And because of energy and frequency, we kind of go from one way to the other. And what they call harmony is right in the center. And this is what we forget. So we're essentially, you know, if you have a day that's like total bliss, then you're going to sway energetically up this way. But it is very natural that you'll need to sway to counterbalance, to find the balance.
That reminds me of the saying, every good deed or no good deed goes unpunished.
You know, so when you were talking about the Christians are saying, that's just satanic, okay? Because everything's frequency, depending on how many people are here and how many people are emitting their light and sending love or really standing in their truth and their mission of what they want to accomplish because they really, really desire to assist and serve and love, okay? Christ is one of the greatest teachers of that. So if there's enough of us here holding that frequency, no matter what, right? No matter what's thrown at us, we're still going to hold this frequency. No matter what is counter, thrown at us, I should say, we're still going to be able to make it through the web of changes. And ultimately, depending on the frequency, if we keep, they will have to come up and match our frequency. If they choose not to, they will fall away.
Well, and that makes me think of the saying, for every action, there is an opposite and equal reaction. Does that mean if we go out and do a bunch of really good stuff, there's going to have to be someone out there that does a bunch of really bad stuff to balance out the scales?
Well, you're thinking of cause and effect.
Yeah.
So for every action, there's a reaction, meaning if you do something wonderful for the planet, then there's a very high likelihood that something very wonderful will happen to you. You know how they used to say opposites attract and everything?
Oh, yeah.
I think in some ways that's a bunch of crap. I don't know. I've studied that. I'm not really buying it.
How come? I mean, I'm glad you brought that up. I was thinking about that earlier, actually. Why would you say that?
It's because I just see everything with frequency. And it doesn't work that way.
Opposites are kind of fighting against each other, I guess.
Yeah, in my opinion, it doesn't, it just doesn't work that way. The universe works as a pendulum. It works like this.
Okay.
So if you're going to reach this level, then you might swing to this level. But guess what? If as you're swinging to this level, you're not absolutely going to go all the way to the same percentage of frequency in the dark side. It all depends on who you are and how strong you are and how committed you are and how dedicated you are and what light quotient you carry. All these variables determine what this other landing point is. And as you're ebbing, I mean, there have been days where I'm just like so high, I can't even stand myself. And then I have to consciously say, I don't want to go into a maybe like a lower frequential state. So I very consciously, ebb so that I bring myself back to balance. And this, if we spend enough time thinking about that, we have so much more control, I'm going to use that word, over our emotional body. Then our emotional body isn't running us, we are running it. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's
really quiet. I got scared. You got really
no,
quiet.
I was just absorbing everything you were saying because it was really hitting home. Sometimes when I'll do 3 or 4 shows a day at the Leak Project, my energy is just through the roof. I'm bouncing off the walls like I've had a 12-pack of rock stars with some mini thins, but it's just my own energy, And then I really.
The next day.
Yeah, and then the next day I'm just kind of like, ooh.
Yep.
So finding that balance or that harmony is just so important for perseverance.
This is why it is not ultimately all bliss and butterflies. Yes, you can live in that reality. I'm not denying that. At the same time, though, it's our responsibility to try to maintain harmony, resonance, a sequencing of matching certain vibrations and holding the space to just be balanced. How do you describe a higher dimensional being?
Like a Jedi.
But they're more balanced.
Exactly. I was just going to say very well balanced.
Yeah, they're really well balanced. I mean, look at Star Wars.
And good with a lightsaber.
Say, you don't want to do that to me. He didn't go, you don't want to do that to me. He just says, you don't want to do that to me.
Yeah, they're very good at conversational hypnosis.
Exactly.
Your Jedi mind tricks don't work with me. Remember that part in the bar? That yes. Alien guy's like, nope. You sure are on your game today, Alexander. This is awesome. I feel like I just went to the World Series of spirituality or something, you know? I mean, we've hit on so many topics and subjects. It's been wonderful. And I'd really recommend our listeners go to galacticconnection.com because you'll see just a ton of information on healing modalities. There's been multiple interviews, a ton of interviews, the daily blog. You can explore all sorts of different news articles and information. There's galactic tools on there. And I did mention earlier, your website is beautiful. I had a chance to talk to Adam Apollo a while back, and I was like, there seems to be some similarities. And you yep. said that he's actually helping you on a new website too, huh?
I am so excited. Our new website is official today.
It's beautiful.
So check it out, everybody. And yes, we expect people to say, oh no, how do I find things? And, you know, I would suggest this and that, the other. We're always open to conversations and suggestions, always have been. But we're really excited about this. And it still needs more work, but we didn't want to hold off any longer. We've been working on this for months and months. But
you can
Adam
tell.
Did an
it's
awesome
beautiful.
Job. When you land on the landing page, you're basically going through a Stargate and you end up on the holodeck of your own ship.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. The sun's moving around, and you can see the solar mm-hmm. flares. It's awesome.
He did an outstanding job. So we've got more to come. We've got all kinds of stuff that's about to launch. I've been kind of dropping little hints with everybody for a couple of months now, but we're finally getting to that place where we can have it complete, you know?
Right
so,
on.
So I'm excited. Our other server was really limping along. And if anybody can, please check out my interview that'll be released today as well.
Absolutely. You said that's going to be at 3:00, right?
Yes.
And that'll be on your YouTube channel, or is it going to be on galacticconnection.com?
It'll go on BBS from 3 to 4:55, and then it goes up on YouTube, Vimeo, and also the blog. So there's multitude, and iTunes. I think you'd access it on iTunes. So there's multiple places you can access it.
Right on.
And Rex, I wanted to pass this on to you. We have been told definitely by people that, let's just say, have worked within some of these corporations, don't get too convinced or hung up on the numbers. Like, you know, when you go up and you look at your interviews and it'll show how many people have accessed that interview.
Uh-huh.
Those are even rigged.
I mean, I've thought that since the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. We had somebody who was working with them who said that's hands down, that's manipulated too.
Did he tell you how they do it?
No. No.
Dang it. No. I'll tell you, that's remarkable. So an inside source came onto your show and exposed.
Well, they didn't come onto my show. You just have to understand, Galactic Connection's the hub for a lot of intel.
Okay.
And, you know, we get a lot of information around the world, and this person shared that there's no question that they, especially when it's really hot topics and information that they don't want out there, then they're going to really make it look like, nobody's accessed it.
I don't know what they do or their algorithms or whatever, but I've certainly wondered that myself and certainly can't wait to see that program. And then go to galacticconnection.com, folks, because just a gourmet buffet of information. And Alexandra, it's always an honor to speak with you. I really appreciate you coming on the show here with us, The Leap Project.
Thank you. Thanks, Rex. And thanks for all you do. I am so impressed that, you know, you told me a little bit about your background and look how far you have come. Think about that. You know, that right there, don't forget that each one of us is a representation of what's going on in the planet. So the more of yous, okay, that are popping up and really breaking free from a lot of these restrictive ways of feeling and being and thinking, the more we're going to get this job done.
Absolutely. Yeah, that feels good just thinking about that. So right on. And the only other website, folks, that I would say is comparable to Alexandra's and Adam Apollo's would be leakproject.com. It's also got a gourmet buffet of information on there. We've got well over 200 interviews. And if you become an exclusive member on leakproject.com, you'll have access to exclusive content. So sometimes we add 3-4 shows in a single day, and there's going to be a lot of on-scene video footage that you're going to have a chance to see, because we're going to go to location and report it. So that way you don't have to take... Yeah, don't take the advice of the mainstream media, folks. We'll go there on scene, and if there's a place you want to see or something that you're interested in, send us an email, guestbookings@leakproject.com. All right, right on.
Rex, you and I need to talk about some stuff regarding that, because Galactic Connection is really, really starting to step out and expand. So,
fantastic. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, this has been just great. I hope you have a wonderful day. And folks, thank you. Be the change you want to see. This is Rex Bear. Good night.